from coast to coast. Here's your host and host, SB8 and Sawa.
I can totally
SB8,
hear you. I can hear you.
okay, I can sort of.
Huh, okay. Is
Oh,
that
now I can hear you. Hi, SB8. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? I totally haven't heard from you in so long.
Right. Absolutely. In so long. This is episode 3 of Bicoastal Disorder with SB8 and Sawa. And sorry about that little background click. I don't know how to turn those off.
Yeah, we are having technical issues. It seems to be,
Yes.
I like to think of this as, you know, the early days of our show, where it's kind of like South Park when you can still see the shadow behind the little characters as they're talking because you were still using construction paper back then, and you think it's quaint, right?
Oh, yes. Okay. This is quaint. I
This
like
is
it. We're
quaint.
trying to, we're trying to resolve the audio issues that we had with Sugar Auntie, which is probably why no one's listened to it. That's not true. Some people have, but our audio quality was really sucky. And I want to apologize for that because what we were talking about was important, and then you can't hear me at all. So.
I think that, you know, I actually listened to the playback of Sugar Auntie. I think I listened to the whole thing, and I think that most of the important parts came through fine. Like, you know, the parts that are actually talking about, you know, personal experiences with you and me, and some informational, informational parts of it. I think those parts came out well. It's just kind of our chatter. You got garbled and chopped up and whatever, but you know, I mean, like I said, it's quaint. It's quaint. We're learning. We're working out all the kinks and bugs. We do not have. How much did you tell me those microphones are?
A couple $100, but
Yeah,
we're
we don't
gonna
have those.
start with me instead of using my headset, which is what I normally do because I like to be hands-free because I have trouble not doing things. Like I can't hold still. It's part of my anxiousness and everything.
I think I should
So
fidget spinner. When I see them spinning
no,
through,
I
I'm like,
hate those.
get
Don't
you
get me
like,
started on those. We have 3 in my house. I don't want to talk about it.
I don't get them. They just spin. I've actually held one in my hands, and I'm like, I don't get it, but.
So I will give my spiel. I think that for the people who actually need them, it is a good tool. Like I have squishy toys in my purse. So if I'm in a meeting that runs long, because this is really random, but meetings that run long trigger panic attacks for me. So I have to try to mitigate this. I've cut down on the number of meetings I go to every week. But when I do, I try not to bring my phone so I can't monitor the time, which is hard as a mother because I want to have my phone with me in case there's an emergency. So I try to either not bring it with me or keep it in my pocket. And then I have little squishy line bags, and squeezing those helps me. So I understand people who need the fidget spinners to have something to do, but the fact that kids just use them because they think they're cool, like, and they disrupt classrooms, and as the wife of a teacher, I do not like things that interrupt classrooms.
Well, and
But anyway, that's my
they're not
but
quiet either. At least the ones that I've come across, they make sound. They're like, you know? So it's like if you're in a meeting and you're
the ones
hearing that.
that the ones that Short Pants has,
Yeah.
which I had specifically asked that no one buy her fidget spinners, and of course my sisters-in-law bought her 3 of them. Yay, family.
One of these days, by the way, guys, in case this is your first episode you're listening to. This is a mental health show, and because this is an everyday mental health show, we will be talking about in-laws. Oh man, we will be talking about in-laws someday. That'll be a series too.
My parents-in-law are very wonderful. My sisters-in-law, while nice people, are challenging because we are so different. So very, very, very different.
You can be perfectly nice people. Like your in-laws can be on in the general scape of things, perfectly nice people, but still drive you batshit crazy. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just the nature of in-laws, I think. And I have a
But
like
I would like to state for the record that I do love Pants's parents.
No good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just leaving. I'm just saying, well, I'm good. I'm glad for you.
Yep. So I know all about your in-laws.
I don't, I mean,
still love you, business class.
I, you know, it's like I love them as people. It's kind of like, you know, like you love your faraway aunt who, you know, it's like, okay, I wish only good things for you guys, but the if you can not have an impact on our lives, that's even better. That sort of thing. So yeah,
we all have family like that.
You can love people from afar. I think that's a better way to put it. You can love people from afar, but if they, there are. Well, like I said, we'll save that for another episode. But there are in-laws out there who really don't know how to not they expect the world to revolve around them, and they don't get that. Even when you have your own family, that doesn't work in other households. That's more on that later.
My mother's in-laws were which sounds awful because they're my grandparents, but
it's an entitlement thing, I really think. It comes down to an entitlement thing, but we were
anyway, we have a better topic.
We were, so basically we just found out what the hell a Grundle is.
and the title of this episode is Grundle, and it's, we didn't know it meant anything other than a
the real Ghostbusters.
Real Ghostbusters, yeah. Right, the cartoon, which my son has recently discovered on Netflix.
That I have
and
on
SBA.
The TV right now. But the topic of the day, Sawa was saying that I usually basically leave it up to Sawa what direction we're going in.
So if you have recommendations, find us on the Nerd Pride forums or email us at bicoastaldisorderpodcast@gmail.com.
Recommendations that actually mean something in the world of mental health, rather, instead of saying, you know, here's a recommendation for, you know, SBH's voice to be cuter or some crap like that, you know, it's like, no.
SBH's voice is amazeballs, and that's all there is to it.
There you go. It's just factual. No, but, it's bullying, because you know it's a big back to school
starting. And one of the first questions I asked Short Pants when she got home from school yesterday was, or Thursday, we were recording this on Saturday afternoon, afternoon your time, evening my time,
we were
by coastal, was you know, asking her which of the known bullies in her grade were in her class. And fortunately, SBH, I don't know if I've had a chance to tell you this yet, the two worst female ones are not in her class.
I knew.
So yay!
I knew definitely one of them. You had told me the one that I know of very well. She's not in there. So I'm glad that the other one isn't in there either. No, and that's actually it. You know, we Sawa and I were literally just talking, and we were like, okay, so we'll do a thing on bullying. And obviously acknowledging, you know, the childhood and the school age, school all the way up to, you know, college level bullies. And then also because in the, how do I be sensitive? In the current,
it's your job to be sensitive.
I know. And I'm actually putting it this way, in the current political and cultural climate that the country is going through, there has been, there you go. See, I can do this. I can beat this. No, in the current climate we are undergoing, there has almost been a new awareness, no matter on which side of the political spectrum you are on, that there is a new awareness of adult bullying. Right. And it goes beyond politics too, like the whole Me Too movement thing. There has been
social media is a, I am off Facebook right now, except for the Bicoastal Disorder Facebook, which I have no Facebook friends on there except for
me.
SBH, so
me. Boy Sawa wants to join and he says, well, you haven't added me as a friend. I'm like, dude, you're supposed to join. It's not like,
you gotta find and like our page.
It's like you know, you have to make it look real, man. It's like, you join us, not me suck you in and say, yes, you like us now.
Well, and you know, oh, I was going to say something really insightful, and I can't remember what it was.
Well,
Hooray!
we were talking about adult bullies, childhood bullies.
Yes.
No, the Me Too thing and Facebook. You're saying you're off Facebook.
Yeah, I'm off Facebook because I just can't deal with everyone hating on each other for everything. I can't. The only reason I had Facebook at all is because so many of my friends plan things on there.
Right.
And I like looking at pictures of my cousin's kids, but that's why we have Instagram.
Yeah.
So,
and actually somebody I respect very much had recently said, and I couldn't put it better myself, that the country feels like it's currently going through a state of mental health or some kind of mental health episode. And we don't know if it's mania and depression and aggravation or all of the above. I'm actually one for, you know, all of the above. But like I said, with the serious disagreements people are having with, you know, politically, as far as what the Me Too movement means to them. I mean, there was that whole thing that happened. And Sawa, feel free to bleep this out, because I don't know if we're allowed to do this, but like the whole Chris Hardwick
thing. I don't know how, so I can't figure out how to bleep things out, so I stayed in.
Well, no, I mean, well, like I said, I don't know what the laws of podcast are, but the Chris Hardwick thing, I think we're allowed to talk about that. But like that was.
Of course we are. We cannot slander or libel anyone.
No.
And you know that I get very emotional about this topic. And
even that, but, you know, people are kind of divided no matter in what way you go. Like whether it's if you love Trump or you hate him, if you love Chris Hardwick or you hate him, it's like you can't even talk about,
or you don't care about any of this.
Yeah, you know, or and actually no, yeah, if you don't care, like if somebody comes up to you and says, well, I really don't care about the Chris Hardwick thing, or someone says, well, I really don't care about the Me Too movement thing, that's gonna get your ass straight in an argument. Liggity split, you know what I mean?
So yeah, no winning, no losing, only losing.
It sounds like you know, my theory, and I'm going to leave it there, and I'm not open for debating it on Facebook or anything related to the podcast. So you guys are just going to have to.
Yeah, we're going to make this. This will be a topic all on its own, I'm afraid. But yes,
it has to be, because speaking of mental health, I mean, my theory is that, you know, a lot of people voted a certain way because they were so sick and tired of political correctness, having to censor themselves, having to be super sensitive. But what's happened is that as a result, more people are actually, you really can't talk about anything now because everything is so inflammatory right now. Like I said, you can't, you know, so I'm just saying that bullying, and as a nation, we're kind of going through a period where nobody feels at liberty to say much, and those who really push the topic of being too liberal in saying what they feel, it's almost like they're making a statement in and of itself by, you know, it's just a screwy time. So bullying seemed to be a very important topic to go with.
I don't know if you'd heard this, SBH, but Wil Wheaton is now off of Twitter because people were latching on to this incorrect idea about him and attacking him viciously. And
that's what I'm saying. It's just really like easy right now to kind of be sucked into something that you weren't even a part of.
Right. And my favorite murder, they had to take down their Facebook group because of a piece of merch they put out. And they realized that it was considered culturally insensitive, they pulled that merch, changed the logo and everything, but it got so debated. And I don't know, because I'm not on Facebook, I was a member of that group, but I don't know because I haven't been on Facebook in 2 months. So this is secondhand information, but they had to take down their Facebook site because it was an innocent mistake, and they corrected it and apologized, and it blew up in their faces. And it's like, and My Favorite Murder is one of the most popular podcasts in the world.
No, I mean, I have I have
We
a
love you, Karen, Georgia.
Huh?
I said, I love you, Karen and Georgia.
No, but I mean, I have one of the things, and I feel like I should say this every week. We'll discuss friends, we'll discuss family, we'll discuss, you know, blah, blah, pop culture and all that, but we won't discuss my clients. But I do have a friend who was saying that he would like to start a YouTube channel of his own. This is like an old country, meaning a friend from the old country of where I lived. And I was like, no, he's not an old guy from the country. That's not what I mean.
Spoiler alert, SBH is not originally from the US.
Yeah, I'm originally an American, but because
well, yes, but
yeah.
Yeah.
But because I was, so everybody else, I feel like everybody else gets one word on their birth certificate under nationality or whatever. Mine is a sentence. U.S. citizen born abroad. That's what they call me. So basically,
yeah.
It happens when your dad's in the military. But so yeah, a friend of mine from the old country, he was saying, you know, I want to do a YouTube channel. And I said, okay, I'm like, why not? Everybody has a thing. And he goes, because I'm afraid of, he goes, I'm so sensitive. I'm afraid of people being mean on it. And that is another thing. You know, I feel like this is going to be a topic kind of like toxic friendships, where it's going to encompass more than one episode. I think that we need
Oh,
to,
I'm sure.
Because there's classic, the bullying we all know, which is on the playground, our children. And then there is workplace bullying, that's adult style bullying.
Oh,
or
my God.
There's cultural bullying, that's widespread now. And then, of course, there's online bullying, which finally is getting some national attention over the past few years. But yeah, and my friend,
it's terrifying to me, because when I was a kid, I've made no secret that I was bullied heavily, both physically, emotionally, and in the workplace and in my private life. But it always, when I got home, my parents are extremely loving, safe space people. I had a very rich church community. I had places I could go to escape it. Mm-hmm. Now with cyberbullying and smartphones.
Yeah, no,
like
that's it. It follows
I
you
just
everywhere.
Heard of when people killed themselves because they were being bullied. A 9-year-old, my daughter's 8.
No,
that terrified
I was
me.
There, so everybody who is listening, I was at Sawa's. So I was with Sawa a few years ago. Actually, I think it was 2016.
Okay.
And we had gone to pick up short pants from school, and we saw that scuffle where that kid pushed down the other kid, and his military style looking dad stepped in and said, "Who did the shoving?" But I remember, it really upset short pants, because the kid who got shoved was a friend of hers, I guess, but and she ran up to him, made sure he was okay and all of that. But I remember standing there literally thinking in my head, does it start this early? Because she must have been like 6. No.
First grade.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you remember the incident I'm talking about, but this was after school. We had just.
I do.
Yeah. We had just collected her. And I remember going, my God, this shit starts this early. You know, and it's disturbing. It almost seems like, especially like my 3-year-old, it's funny, she'll be playing with herself with her dollies, and then I'll hear her say, now don't forget to click and like, and don't forget to subscribe. And I was like, oh God, she's on YouTube way too much when she's with my mom. But it's funny though, because I'm afraid for her, because one, bullying has been around since the ages. Bullying has been around since Cain and Abel. It can be familial. And now with, they're so exposed to this online bullshit and this whole,
yeah.
You know, like the more likes you get for your channel means the more popular you are. And the whole quest for being liked actually leads to bullying. So it's like, oh God.
Right. Short Pants is always asking me if she can be a YouTuber, and why won't I let her have a YouTube channel?
Yeah, no.
Because I'm terrified.
Yeah, no.
She's my little princess. Like, I know that's anti-feminist, don't care, princesses save the world, man. That'll be a topic we're gonna discuss later.
I
got stuff to say about that.
Well, I think so. It's funny, because you guys have heard so far what our future topics are going to be, like two future shows already, which is not to mention the continuations of this one. So we're definitely going to be talking about in-laws at some point. We're definitely going to be talking about motherhood. And I think that's where that topic will fall under, because I have to tell you, moms are the greatest superheroes of all time, believe it. And so are the dads who do the mom things. But I have to tell you that they're also the most...
And they're just like equal partners.
Yeah, but they're also...
Hands in the air for equal partners, man.
But but moms as a group, at least in this country, are some of the biggest competitors you'll ever meet too. Speaking of bullying,
yes.
Like I gave my
kid
my kid was dying of thirst, so I gave her juice. Oh my god, you really don't care about her health. It's like, damn, I can't win.
My pediatrician's always telling me I give them too much juice, but I go to my doctor for medical advice, not parenting advice. And that is advice I give parents all the time. They're like, what? When you go to baby showers, you know, and they want you to write down a piece of advice, and everyone's like, sleep when the baby sleeps. Yeah. No, because otherwise I'd never do dishes. Just saying.
That's when I used to do the dishes.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And fold my laundry.
Yep. Especially in the newborn age. But so basically, so I guess we hadn't talked about how we wanted to format the bullying topic. Like, do we want to start with, like, early bullying? So...
Like what we witnessed, and I have examples. I don't know if you were bullied in the old country.
Yeah, but I was thinking about that the other day, and not really.
I will say that my first experience with bullying, I don't actually remember, because A, I was 5, and B, it was really traumatic, so I blocked it out. But I've been told the story enough. And I was on the school bus. It was when I was in kindergarten, so it was my first time on the bus, because I did pre-K at a co-op, much like Mubi does. So my hair, I guess, was up in a ponytail, and a girl decided she didn't like it and pulled several handfuls of my hair right out of my head.
What kind of superhuman strength did this little girl have?
I just stuck my hair, just falled right out.
My god.
And as a result, it made me bleed, apparently.
Yeah.
Like I said. And I developed insomnia, and had insomnia from the time I was 5 to the time I was 20.
Yeah. So that would be the first experience in bullying.
Yeah. And then the next year, my mother alerted a friend of hers whose son I grew up with until I moved. And he sat with me every day, because he would protect me from the bullies. Aww. And would not let anyone stand behind. And actually, I was writing up kind of like a life story for my shrink. And I got to be thinking about this young man, and, well, we're not young anymore. We're almost 40. So I emailed, he and I are still in contact, even though I moved away when I was 10. And he and I still email once or twice a year, and Christmas cards and all that jazz. Anyway, I actually sent him an email thanking him, because I realized I never did, for defending me and standing up for me. And he at one point said, like, don't worry, Sala. I could make a bomb out of the pieces of the bottom of this bus to protect you.
Oh, dear God.
And Allie probably would have been thrown out of school for terrorism. But this was the 80s. He's not MacGyver. He'd been watching too much MacGyver,
yeah,
I think.
To say, it sounds like it was the 80s and he had seen it on MacGyver.
He was always my knight in shining armor. And after that... nobody really bugged me all that much.
Right.
Because he was very tall. He still is, I imagine. I don't know. I haven't seen him in, almost 3 decades. Wow, it's really weird to think that I've known someone for that long. Anyway.
No, we old, girl. We old.
bothered my crush in elementary school. I used to follow behind him and try to kiss him, but, and I suppose that was bullying in a way.
Trying
It
to
was,
kiss somebody.
yes, he was very cute. I still remember his name.
I don't think trying to kiss
Luckily, we
somebody.
can't Facebook stalk him because it's a hella common name. So,
Yeah, I don't think trying to kiss somebody is bullying. I mean, if you were to put that in.
if I tell you to stop and you don't.
What's that?
If he tells you to stop doing it and you don't, then I think in a way, at least it's
Well, that's
harassment.
harassment. Yeah. Yeah. So.
So, apologies to that person who, just probably doesn't remember I even exist. So, we,
Like, I'm sorry, my lips were so damn busy. They were just
I've
so
always
busy.
had a problem with crushes on unattainable men. Luckily, Magic Pants is awesome and wasn't
He was
frightened away
attainable.
from me.
Yeah. He wasn't. Yeah.
He was attainable. It makes me sound like I settled or something. No, I am extremely lucky to have the husband I do.
Well, meaning attainable, meaning that he wasn't a celebrity who was 30 years older, married to another celebrity 30 years older, and that he wasn't a cartoon or something. Speaking of cartoons and speaking of the real Ghostbusters, because we were talking about a Grundle,
Yes.
my cartoon crush, I'd like to think most people had one. Mine was Egon, and not Egon from the movie. It had to be Egon from the real Ghostbusters. I was like, yeah, he was my jam.
Trying to think if I had a cartoon crush. My first celebrity crush was LeVar Burton. And I'm sorry, those eyes of his, oh my gosh.
I no, actually don't feel bad. A lot of people of our era, if you ask them who their first crush ever was, and by crush I mean as much of a crush a 4-year-old can muster, it was Kit from Knight Rider, like not Michael, Kit, the car. They're like, yeah, man,
Right, the
his
car.
voice. If I was a lady car, I'd hit
Yeah.
that. I
We are totally
totally
off
put my.
topic.
I
My
totally.
sound quality is probably all over the place because I keep switching how far away my phone is from my face.
Okay.
So I hope this is not. I'm really worried about sound quality now. I'm worried that people will bully me about it.
They, you know what? So here's the thing. Our online thing, or speaking of My Favorite Murders Facebook fiasco, don't try that shit on ours. I mean, you'll just get deleted. You really won't get it's not the land of the free and free speech when it comes to our Facebook page. If you act like a jackass, you'll just get deleted. I mean, that's just it.
Follow some common internet rules. The first is Wheaton's Law, don't be a dick. Speaking of celebrity crushes, number two. Yeah, so don't be a dick. That's Wheaton's Law. We'll follow that one. My number one law of the internet is don't read the comments, which I really try to avoid reading the comments.
I never
Unless
have
it's
a
on
problem.
fanfic, because you're full of love and I love love.
Yeah, I never have a problem not reading the comments. I'm pretty good. I mean, the last time I read comments to anything, that's when I found out that the dude who wanted to give Bill Clinton a rim job and the sloppy bear guy, so
And
taught me a lesson.
yeah, and sloppy bear forever. Yeah, so
Still
those
gets
are
me
the
thinking.
two rules. And also the rule, like, if someone can imagine it, there's probably porn of it.
Yeah.
But don't
Like my friend.
I thought so Beezer was telling me about what was it? I forgot. Anyway, so we were looking up Grundle.
Yeah, the
Yes,
Grundle. Yeah.
SBH was talking about Grundle. And so I thought, isn't that the name of a real mythological creature? Like, I'm trying to remember if I heard it on the Myths and Legends podcast or something. So I Googled it. No, it is not a mythical creature. No.
It's an actual term for, I mean, it's a term for something that has a lot of terms.
It's anatomical, and do not image search that shit.
So basically,
Saying.
a grundle is another way of saying your gooch or your taint or your ABC, and ABC, if you didn't know, is your ass to balls connector. Apparently, there's a whole section about manscaping your grundle. So the part that
Yes. And apparently it's universal. It's for men and women all have grundles. And like I said, I thought it, yeah.
Well,
so apologies to Myths and Legends podcast.
It's funny though. No, the part that makes it hilarious is the reason Sawa even looked up what a Grundle was because I was literally watching the real Ghostbusters as I was chatting on the phone with her. And by the way, I was watching that by myself. My kid's asleep. I was watching the real Ghostbusters, and I was specifically looking for the episode called The Grundle, because even from when I was 10, I remembered that episode. And the thing that stood up about that episode, because we were just talking about childhood bullying, is this was a creature that, unlike all of the other ghosts on the real Ghostbusters, it didn't look like a monster. Like, it didn't look like we were just talking about this thing that looked like like a typical monster in the real Ghostbusters was a Chinese dragon looking thing that flew, and it had a waistcoat on for some reason, and a sleeveless shirt and a tie. This thing, the Grundle, was actually kind of humanoid. It had cucumber type skin, and it dressed in like this black Freddy Krueger kind of hat with a black trench coat with sandals on. So basically it looked like a flasher. It looked like a flasher.
Oh, and you know, in the defense of the real Ghostbusters, flashers and child molesters really are monsters.
Right.
So yeah. There you go.
Well, and the creepy factor, like the real creep factor about this thing was, if you were what it sensed as a troubled youth, it would appear by your window and ask you to let it in. And it would basically be like the classic bad influence. And the more, you know, bully like you got, the more you tortured other kids, the more jackassish and butt faced miscreant you turned into, the more you would turn into this thing. And I'll never forget, it used to pet this, it had these long nails, and it used to like pet this kid on the face, and he kept saying, "You're so fresh, you're so pure." And I was like, oh god. So definitely, you know, as an adult, I'm like, man, this thing was a creepy ass child molesting sort of monster. And so Sawa, being Sawa, looks it up, and she goes, "Oh my god, I found it." I said, "Right, it's creepy." She goes, "No, dude." They called it, it's basically your taint or your gooch, or your, I guess if we're trying to be anatomically sensitive, your what, perineum. So it's
a place where they, if they're going to cut an episiotomy, that's where they cut.
It's basically, so now if
I do not consent,
so it's
sorry,
so now they call it, it now they call it a Grundle. So it's funny because I wonder how long that term has been around in that sense. I wonder if the dude writing the
episode... I'm not Googling it anymore, SJ. I am not Googling it anymore.
This is like, we're on
a game. My poor virgin sensibilities.
So, but basically...
Notice we're not discussing our topic of conversation from a few nights ago. So, in case it wasn't clear, SBH and I talk every day.
Pretty much. Either on text and or by phone. Usually,
yeah, every day.
Usually I call Sarah while she has her finger up some worm's butthole. And then she usually says,
worm's buttholes, they're too tiny.
Well, maybe, I don't know.
I do inject the gonad. However, no, we're not going to talk about work.
Okay.
We're talking about bullies.
Right.
And not workplace bullies, because that's a topic for another time.
So, okay, so we're going to start off with kid bullies. And for...
Right, so I talked about how my first one was handled. My mother tried to report it to the school. The school said, it didn't happen on school property. You deal with it. The bus garage said, I didn't see anything.
Oh, God.
And so my mother, essentially my mother and her friend assigned me my other friend. And he protected me.
Right.
And I'm not saying that girls need boys to protect them, but darn it, it's sure nice to have someone bigger and stronger than you,
well,
who has your back.
One of the nicest things I...
I have my own back. I didn't learn how to have my own back till college.
Well, and that's what they say is the age-old way to really handle a bully, which is if you go home crying to your mom that a bully clocked you, an old-school mom would say, take your umbrella and clock them right back. Like it's basically the inception of the LL Cool J song Mama Said Knock You Out. It's pretty much how the old school way of handling bullies. And there is, you know what, I hate to say it, And let it be known that I am not saying and advocating to have your kid go and beat the crap out of their bullies. But I guess the logic behind that and the reason why it tends to work is because, one, bullies tend to prey upon the people they think they can prey upon, right? The idea, yes. The idea behind the bully. So if we were to kind of think of the anatomy of a bully's mind. So let's just say, and also if anybody listening to this was a bully themselves, like there are people who are perfectly wonderful adults who were bullies and they can admit that. I guess anytime you really think about anytime you've bullied a kid, or if you were bullied by a kid, if now in retrospect, if you really kind of look back on it, it's because, and this is not just jargon, it's true. It's because that kid has issues. If you don't even have to look that deep, you know, sometimes you can look at, you can look at the kid and tell there's something going on at home.
Well, and I acted out in a workplace. The person didn't know that we were talking about them in a harsh way, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But like I participated in bully-like behavior and didn't realize it until like I was driving home. Like, holy crap, I'm doing, not to the person's face, but like I was saying things that bullies said about me. And I went home and I threw up, to be perfectly honest.
That sounds like you.
Because
that sounds like a reaction.
But
yeah. No.
Sorry, Beastie. I think I've called you that. I apologize.
No, but even when we're not meaning to hurt somebody, we do it without even thinking about it. If to prove my point, like you're not, let's just say you're not bullying, insert gorgeous celebrity here. Like, let's just say you're having a really fucked up day. Your hair is having a fucked up day. You're having a day where you don't think you look good in anything you wear. Nothing's going right at work. Nothing's going right at home. Like, you've burnt dinner. And the last thing you want to do is curl up in bed. You flip open a magazine and here's somebody who is young, who's gorgeous, who is successful at an early age. And the first thing your brain probably comes up with during a day like that is, why her? Or some people, I guess, are just lucky, or she's not that great, or I heard that song and it sucks, and it, you know, and takes all types, yada, yada, yada. Whereas you may not think that about said person if you were having a perfectly fine day. So that kind of proves the point of this. Now, if you take it to, you know, a more harsh and extreme, where it's like, okay, I'm having a fucked up day. If you're a kid and you're having, because kids don't know a hell of a lot about the world and what's out there and what's in their control, because there's not a whole lot in their control. If a kid is having a fucked up life, they're definitely going to take their shit out on a kid who's not seeming to have a fucked up life. You know, that's whole, they're going to act it out on some other poor, unsuspecting, undeserving child. But that is unfortunately how these things go. So,
until the child thinks that they must have done something to deserve it.
And then that's a cycle. Says, almost. Like one of our dearest friends, whom you have heard us talk about before, Papa. Papa is somebody where, so I grew up Catholic. She grew up Lutheran. And I know that she was obsessed with this show, Bones, the Emily Deschanel, David Boreanaz show. And I remember she was just like, I mean, like, when that girl goes in, she goes all in a fandom. And I remember just sitting there watching the first few episodes with her and thinking Bones was annoying. You know, I was like, okay, she doesn't get basic human and social stuff. But my friend, who I think is perfectly wonderful, she was really, this character really resonated with her. And this is also around the time she made me sit down and watch The Lion King when she found out I'd never seen it before. And I remember watching The Lion King and going, this is really a sad show. Why do you like it? And she was like, it was the only thing that took me through primary school, which primary school is a different structure to here. But still, I mean, it's still the latent age of children, even in Finland. And I was like, I mean, she was tortured. She was just tortured. She had to do the diabetes test early because her stomach cramps are so bad and the doctor wanted to rule out diabetes for her.
Oh my.
She used to just stay home and curl up in bed and watch The Lion King over and over and over because she just wanted, she felt alone. And the fact that Simba had that the fat thing Pumbaa and Timon are,
Yeah.
you know, it's like, and she was sad. And if you ever met her, you would not believe it. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's funny. She's kind to a fault. You know, she's talented. But she was tortured as a little girl. And I mean, I wasn't even a mom yet, and my heart was breaking hearing that. And now, as a mom, my God, I'm actually, I have that lump in my throat just talking about what she went through because I hate to think of my girl
Yeah.
ever having to go through that. You know what I mean? It's like,
Yes.
and I wish that, and as Sawa has actually, we were talking about this a couple of years ago when Short Pants was going through what was the beginning of a bullying cycle, at her school, right? With that little girl and all of that. And I remember Sawa trying to get the teacher's attention on it. And at first, it didn't feel like the teacher is basically saying, well, I expect the children to work their shit out. I remember that's one of the things the teacher said. And I remember going,
I got ragey. I got so mad.
I mean, I was kind of like, you know, I get what you're doing because it's kind of like, it goes kind of with the stand up for yourself, you know, that sort of that, like, you know, clocking the bully, but not by clocking them, but stand up for yourself. I get what she was trying to do, but I was like, there's also a realistic approach to be considered here. These are little kids.
First
These are not,
graders don't know how to handle this.
that's what
First
I'm saying.
graders do not have the emotional maturity
Right.
to
They're not going
work
to
through
talk it out.
problems with their
They're not going to, I don't think your average 6-year-old is going to go up to this bully that just put a bruise on her head, you know, to say, are you having trouble at home? I don't think most 6-year-olds, most adults aren't going to do that, you know.
So a little background. My daughter came home with two very big, very obvious bruises. And I called the teacher because I was furious because, first of all, my child was hurt and no one contacted me.
Right.
I
You
was
trust
like,
the school
this
to take care of your child, yeah.
man. Right. And then when I talked to the teacher and she said that she hadn't noticed the bruise, I sent her pictures saying, how did you not notice this? And let's say that the bruise hadn't developed yet.
Right.
Well, I gave her time. Like I called the second day because I thought, well, maybe it hadn't developed yet. And so I expected a call the second day because Short Pants told me it happened on the playground. Short Pants told me what happened. And so I'm like, well, maybe bruises take a while to develop. So I waited till the next day before I contacted the teacher for a little context. And so even if the teacher wasn't aware of what happened, and Short Pants assured me she went up to the aide that was on the playground and told her. Now I'm not saying that kids don't lie because they do,
Yeah, they do.
but I believe that she reported it because of she really enjoys pointing out people's foibles, which we're working on that at home. But so the next day she should have contacted me because if it didn't happen at school, it could have happened at home, and teachers are mandated reporters. Like, it was that big a bruise. I was so mad. So mad.
And then when you contact the teacher and then she goes, well, it's I don't remember.
Just sit them down and have them work
Yeah, I
it
don't remember the nitty-gritty, but I remember when I read, because of course Sawa forwarded the letter to me, and I remember reading it, and I remember having the distinct reaction of, wait, so she knows? Because it's not like Sawa had said, by the way, in case you don't know, you know, this little girl and this little girl and this little boy have been doing this to my kid. The teacher seemed to know. It's except she was like, but I have them work it out. And at that point, I almost lost it. I mean, I'm in mental health, and I was like, what the fuck? What do you mean? And I'm sorry, it doesn't take a genius, and it doesn't take somebody who studied human development to kind of go like, well, Jesus, 6-year-old is not going to have that kind of sophistication, you know. Usually they want the, usually they need some kind of support around it. So, you know, I'm seeing there's this thing, we should put a link to it when I figure out how to actually do administrative stuff on the Facebook page. There is a link to stopbullying.gov where there are links within that.
Schools are taking it a lot more seriously than in my day.
I mean, back in our day, it was something that everybody knew happened. But I mean, even if you look at the old, if you look at sitcoms, if there was a sitcom episode of the kids being bullied, the first thing the dad in the sitcom would do is teach the kid how to box, right, or defend themselves. And again, that was going along with the idea that you have to stand up to your bully. And yes, that is very true. I'm not saying that you have to do it by taking a boxing class, but the idea behind it is to assert yourself and don't let the bully see you as a target. You know, stick up for yourself. And if you are a grade school kid, and I know this is a controversial suggestion, but grade school kids are supposed to tell the teacher. Now, my husband, business class, I remember he said, you know, back in my day, telling the teacher was a guaranteed way to get your ass kicked good and square. And I was like, right.
But now there's no tolerance policy and the whole see something, say something. Right. And if you see someone bullying, then you should report it,
right,
not leave it to the victim. And even better yet, if you can go to the person who is currently being bullied and stand, even if you don't say anything, if you just stand next to them, it helps. And I would like to also put a stop, something that I was often told, mm-hmm, not by my mother, but by, because my mother's better than that, but by other adults, when I would try to come to them and be like, please, can you help me with this? My main bullies, well, I did have some girl bullies. Most of my bullies were boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hear, oh, he's just doing that because he likes you.
Oh, dear God.
No. Yeah. Not teach girls that it's okay if a man hurts you or says mean things to you because they might be saying it because they don't know how to express their feelings for you. No man, no boy should put you down. I swore that I would never tell my daughter he's just doing that because he likes you.
Right.
Bullshit.
Yeah. No, it's that's
terrible. And no one, that kid who used to punch me on the side of the school bus seat and broke my glasses 3 times, he wasn't doing it because he had a crush on me. He was doing it because
he was an asshole.
He was a jerk. His father was a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
no, and that's what I'm saying. Know, it's like, you know,
is not something you do because you like them. It's not a sign of strength. It's pathetic.
No, and you know, kids do have the ability, and I know this is going to sound shocking coming from a shrink.
No, I mean, funny. Funny.
No, this is going to sound shocking coming from a shrink, but children can be assholes. You know, I know it's sort of like, no, there's no such thing as bad children. They're bad parents. Yes, that's true. You know, I mean, there is nature versus nurture. Some kids are more chill than other kids. But yes, no, I do tend to agree that, the sin of the child is actually the sin of the parent. But if you abuse your child and nobody helps that child will develop assholic tendencies. They will become an asshole. I can give a lot of political commentaries now, but I'm not gonna. But I'm just saying
bullying right now.
Huh? What was that?
Because we're not talking about adult bullying right now.
Right. But I'm just saying that without intervention, the child will grow to be an adult bully. It happens. It happens. It happens. And so the thing about this, now the no tolerance policy with school, they do have to revise that because being in Shrinkland, I have noticed that the studies are saying that if a school has, so there's a good way to, if there are any educators listening, if the school has a blanket no tolerance policy, it's not going to work because what's going to happen is exactly what business class was talking about, which is you can't rat on me because, you know what I mean? Like, first off, a lot of times if there's a bully in your midst, then chances are there are parents who are not doing anything about it. If you are the parent of a bully, chances are you know your child's a bully. I'm sorry, but chances are you know. And so if the school says you hit little Jimmy and you are expelled, what's going to happen is the parents are going to get defensive because they're the ones who are in denial and they don't want to think about it. And basically, you may remove the child from the other children, but the child who is the bully is not getting any help. What works better than the blanket no tolerance policy is kind of it's social training, and teachers need to pick up that mantle. You know, like if I was a teacher, and I'm not, so granted, now, so cut me some slack because I don't know the ins and outs of school politics and da 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 da, and each principal's difference. But if I was a teacher, I would at least hope that I would have the liberty to tell my class from the first day, if you guys are expected to be kind to each other and to work hard. And if you're not being kind to each other, I expect those of you who are witnessing it to step in and do something about it. And if you're afraid to do it, I expect you guys to come and tell me about it. I mean, I think social training of an empathy training is severely lacking in some of our classrooms. And you're a teacher. I mean, you're supposed to teach. You're supposed to teach children develop. And so I think that would be, well, like I said, if you ever are curious and you want to go on stopbullying.gov, that they actually do talk about that, which is there is a certain, like the teacher who short pants had last year was so different to the teacher that you were dealing with the year before, where when you even questioned, I forget what the incident was, but you contacted the teacher and said, "Hey, I'm just curious about this. What's going on?" The teacher said, "Oh, no. I've noticed that she and her friend have had a cooling period." And she, I mean, this teacher was awesome. She was on it. She was addressing.
Oh my gosh. She was amazing.
Yeah. She was addressing. And the thing is, she was.
When anything was going on, so like I emailed when I was having my surgery because she was concerned that short pants might be stressed out about my upcoming surgery, and she asked that we email with anything like that.
Yeah, no, she was so she on could the ball. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I wish I could use her name because I would love to shout her out. And I'd also like to bring up what Magic Pants does. Magic Pants being a high school teacher, junior senior high teacher. Mm-hmm. His room is completely a safe space where he gives up his lunch. He gives up his plan periods. If kids need to talk to him or just be not eat lunch in the lunchroom, if they just need a place,
right.
He keeps his classroom open for that. And he's always willing to step into his office with a kid who needs to talk.
Yeah.
And I feel like the kids really need that, especially when you're going through adolescence and he always tries to listen to both sides if there's a conflict.
Right.
And so I just want to say that I had a teacher that I could go to. It wasn't quite the same thing, but I had a teacher in high school that I would stop in and see every morning just to check in, and because he cared.
Right.
And, you know, junior, senior high is such a horrible, like, age, and having a teacher like Magic Pants, like my teacher in high school, I actually had three, mm-hmm. but where the cared truly cared is so important.
No, and so I mean, all it takes is one sophisticated adult, and by sophisticated I mean somebody who's actually in tune with what the children are going through, and on both sides, not just the bullied but the bullier. Because, you know, if you're a teacher and you know that this kid, again, let's call him, you know, Chucky, is clobbering other kids, you would be remiss to not check in with what's happening to Chucky and what's happening in his world. Because, you know, the children don't generally just feel like, you know what I mean, picking on other children for shits and giggles. They're usually threatened by something. They're sad and pent up with rage about something they cannot express at home. Or they're jealous, you know, like they're so miserable, and they, according, like, it's that line from that Jack Nicholson movie, As Good As It Gets, where he goes, you know, what pisses you off isn't that you didn't have it, is that you had it bad. It just pisses you off that other people had it good, you know. And the children do feel that jealousy. I think one of the reasons that I didn't have a bully issue when I was growing up, several reasons. The biggest reason is my aunt was the principal and everybody knew it. So they were like, well, fuck, you know. And then the other thing was, I went to, well, first off, where I grew up, every school wears uniforms, so you didn't have much room for the whole, oh, you think you're better than me because I wear this and you wear that. Everybody wore the same fucking thing. There was even a moratorium on fancy, like, you know, everybody had to wear white shoes. Your shoes couldn't be too fancy. Like, it had to be, like, you know, everybody wore Converse, that sort of thing. And it's genius when you think about it. It's like, you know, you're here to learn, and as much as we can... Huh?
I think uniforms are great.
Yeah, they are. Well, first off, they're a time saver. But,
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it's a discipline thing, and it's also, let's take out that element of, you know, these kids are going to compare themselves to each other no matter what. It's part of the growing process. Let's take out all this superficial shit as much as we can, you know, but generally,
yeah.
As a teenager in high school, generally, if bullying happened, it was because always there was something going on in that kid's house that they didn't know how to deal with it, so they were just unpleasant. And sometimes, by the way, the one who's going through something is the bullied, because, you know, it's sort of like, you know, when you're a pack animal and you sniff out the weak one, it's like, oh, well, you're going through something, you're moody and you keep to yourself because you're insecure, but we're going to see that as weakness. And teenagers are kind of fucked up. They tend to prey on their own kind when they're out there trying to develop their persona and stake their claim in hierarchy and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's just how it is, but.
Well, can I also say that no one is ever asking to be bullied, even if they do things that, like, reading the Bible on the school bus to kind of seem cool. Like, they're not asking to be bullied. Not that I would speak from experience in that or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I did a lot of things because I wanted to be liked so desperately, and I had it in my head that if I could just show these people that I was good enough, that they would want, interesting enough, they'd want to be my friend. And the truth of the matter is, the bullying didn't have anything to do with me other than I reacted to it.
I think that
I'm a very emotional person. I know this is shocking to SBH and anyone else who might know me that's listening to this,
so shocking.
That I'm very emotional. I show my emotions, except when I bottle them up, which is a coping mechanism, and it's not a good one, but it is what it is. And because they could get a rise out of me, they kept doing it. So, you know, but no one is ever asking.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. It's like
I'm still not.
Well, it's like pinpointing, because, like, I do believe human beings are pack animals, and it's like pinpointing what you perceive as the weak one. If we were wolves, you know what I mean. Now, do not get it twisted. The different person isn't weak. I'm just saying that whatever tends to make you stand out tends to make people a target at a certain age group, like anywhere from between, I don't know, if I was to guess 10 and 15, if you are different, it's kind of like, it's almost akin to being the weak one in the pack, whereas, you know, the attention is on you, and you're going to be targeted for that. And not only is that poor person not asking to be targeted, but it's just, what I mean, for lack of better words, it's stupid. I'm really, you know, I kind of went on a tangent in the first episode about some of the things that Generation Z is doing better than we did in Generation X, which is, at least I think, now this is as an outsider looking in, I'm not in school anymore, but it seems as though difference is actually a little more celebrated now. Back when I was in school.
Oh, I know. Being a nerd is a bit of honor,
right? I mean, like, being a nerd is different now.
Awesome for different. I tried to be awesome by being different, and it was the wrong time for that, people.
But now it's good.
And bringing people, like, I always say, the difference between a nerd and a hipster is a hipster wants to be exclusive with, they want to like something obscure, but they want to be the only one, and a nerd wants, like, something obscure and then introduce everyone they love to the awesome thing they found.
Yeah.
And I love that nerds are now better than hipsters.
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
and even, you know, and that's not to say that because now we're Well, and that's not to say that now that we're celebrating the time of the nerd means that we're going to start picking on the quote unquote the jock. I mean, you can be a very cool. When I was in college,
be a sports nerd.
Huh? Right. And they were.
You can be a sports nerd.
Right. When I was in college, some of the coolest guys, meaning actually good, decent, moralistic people, were the football players. I mean, they didn't have, I guess in college, like, they're like, well, I don't have anything to prove. You know, it's not like the pecking order of high school anymore. And so they were just there to play because they like it. And it was giving them money to go to school and they would do it. That's not to say that you don't still have your, but I think that when I say jock, it's kind of synonymous if you're looking at it from the classic or 1980s way jock was synonymous with the word bully, you know, like the Revenge of the Nerds.
Any John Hughes movie.
Right, exactly. Like a jock was the bully. Jock was synonymous with bully, which was synonymous with asshole. So, but I think that different and different little subgroups in high school are a lot more, they're a lot more at ease, I think. I could be wrong. Again, I'm not in school, but at least from what I've noticed and from people I've met, that they seem to be able to express and celebrate their differences way more than when we were in school. So,
kudos. Yeah, I feel like they judge people less too. And I mean, in high school, the people that I felt most alienated from were the people I most wanted to be.
Right.
But the people that I was actually afraid of, and I think a lot of people were afraid because they were, they weren't college bound, but they were going into occupations. So they were going to, for half the day, they'd go to a school that focused on mechanics or things like that, beauticians, etc. I won't name the organization because that'll give away my location.
Right.
But I was in a program where I was out of school half the day going to intern at the hospital because that was back when I thought I'd be a good doctor. So I was interning at the hospital and I had to ride the bus with these people who I had been actually afraid of. And they were the most kind, accepting, wonderful people.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know,
yes. Just, but, and I also,
they were great.
I also think,
accepted me for weirdness and dorkiness. And yeah, they were great.
I would also like to think, kind of tying back to what we were saying about the difference in how schools are educating. I would like to think that one of the reasons that acceptance is of differences and even celebration of differences is a thing now is because, well, one, social media, globalization and global, blah, blah, blah. What do you call it?
I don't know.
You know, like when you're introduced to other cultures, thanks to the interwebs and, you know, it's just the world is, what your kid sees in their room, for better or worse, is a lot more widespread. It's a lot more cultural awareness outside of America. It's a lot more awareness of difference in disabilities and things like that. And I would also like to think that the schools have wised up that, you know, to do the cultural awareness piece with the kids, it doesn't mean rounding them all up in the gym and having some kooky group come in and do some stupid little dance and talk about, ooh, I'm Mr. Native American, ooh, I'm Mr. Asian American. Like, no, I mean, they're actually addressing it in real terms. Like you said, Magic Pants, who actually basically gives an expectation of how he expects his students to be with each other and giving them a safe space and actually giving both sides individual attention when they need it. I mean, I think the schools in general have wised up and they're trying to be a little more sophisticated in the way they do social training, and they're not just keeping it at differences black or white. No, sometimes differences black or white, and it's also disabled and not disabled, and it's learning different and not learning different, you know, that sort of thing. So I'd like to think that this more tolerant, at least what appears to be a more tolerant generation than the one I'm from. And it seems to be partly because, like I said, of globalization. exposure, globalization exposure, and that's the word I was looking for. And also because the schools have just gotten better at it. I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we can only get better. And that's what we have to do. We have to always work to be better. And if you were bullied, you need to work to get past it. If you were a bully, I don't recommend like Facebook stalking people to apologize.
That might freak them out.
No, it happened to me. It really did. Some guy reached out to me and I didn't recognize the name. I actually had to figure out who it was because I block things out. Yeah. And I said, why on earth are you reaching out to me? You were so cruel. And he's like, well, I found Jesus, whom, by the way, I didn't know he was missing.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I know.
He said he found Jesus and that he needed to apologize to people he was cruel to. And I mean, it was, I really appreciated the gesture, but it really freaked me out that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't recommend doing that, but just try to, if you think that in any way you were or are a bully, you know, try to work through that and find out why.
That's, yeah.
That I is mean, my,
again, if you,
is look inside yourself and forgive yourself for doing it and try not to do it anymore. And if you were bullied, therapy is awesome.
And if you are, and if you are in a position to be that person, be you a healthcare professional or a trusted family friend or a teacher, what have you, if you are in the position to address the bully, because the bully needs help. And if you're in the position to address what's happening, why this little person, you know, is torturing other kids, please be a hero and confront, you know, just say, listen, let's go out, let's get something to eat, and I want you to tell me what's going on, because I guarantee you they have a world of hurt that they want to talk about, but they don't know how, which is why they're bullying. So, you know, I mean, this, like I said, this has turned into, I guess, part one of a series of this sort of thing. And as usual, if anybody has any questions, I believe Sawa is locked into the Nerd Pride forum. If anybody has any questions or any follow-up questions about this, feel free to ask, because I think the next time we hit this will be adult bullying. But, you know.
Yeah. And I would also like to say that everyone's a victim when it comes to bullying. I mean, unless you've never been a bully or bullied, but I'm saying like everyone involved in a bully situation is a victim, and it sucks.
The fact that we are, to kind of go back to what we were talking, we were kind of blabbering about in the first, what I was more or less blabbering about in the first part of this, to kind of go back to that, everybody is kind of at least afraid of that. And just the fact that everybody feels so afraid to speak their opinion, you know, you can always ask for information. You can always say you don't agree with certain things. But I mean, I can tell, I can, not that I will, but I can tell you that I can think of right off the top of my head three things that I would debate somebody on, but I wouldn't go looking for the debate, because nobody, you know, people are afraid to speak their mind because they don't want harsh, you know, hurtful criticism and rejection. You know, to hear another perspective is always helpful and should happen, but it's
as long as it's done kindly, which is one of the reasons we're using pseudonyms for everyone, because we don't want anyone to be
right, you know,
hurt.
There's
what we say.
Well, like one of my you know, speaking of Pawpaw and my other friend who Sawa has not met yet, but she shall, and she will get a kick out of this name, but we shall call her Booby. You know, I mean,
we haven't met, but I know who she is.
But it's funny because the three of us, you know, Papa, Booby, and I always say we are the living, breathing example of a Catholic, a Jew, and an atheist walk into a bar, because Booby's Jewish. Papa is atheist. She's atheist AF. And I was born and raised Catholic. And there, and we do walk into a bar all the time, and we do have a great time all the time, and we don't denounce what each other believes in. You know what I mean? Are there things about the Catholic Church, especially of late, that I find distressing? Oh yeah, and I can think of a thousand.
Join us. Hmm? One of us. One of us.
You know, it's like I can think of you know, I mean, I won't even go into that bullshit with the priests and molest. Oh, Jesus. But anyway, I'm just saying that are there things about each other's, I mean, like I said, we're kind of like, look, we're all people and we were raised in certain traditions, but that doesn't mean that each other's tradition. Now, okay, molesting boys, wrong. I don't give a fuck who you are. But I'm just saying, but that's also not supposed to be Catholic anyone. Tradition. That's not supposed
molesting
to be.
Anyone is bad. Don't do that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, don't be molesting people. And that is not part of, at least not as far as I'm aware, that's not a part of Catholic tradition. So there are certain things within the Catholic tradition, I think, that allows for that to happen. And that's what needs to change. But I'm just saying that we can be different in what we were raised to believe in and traditions we were taught to do, and we still have no, I mean, whenever Booby comes to visit me, I make sure to cook kosher as much as I can, because, and I have no problem with it. Why should I, you know? So it's like, I don't know. Everybody has been, if you haven't been a victim of bullying or you haven't been a bullier, you've at least been afraid of being in a position where you are bullied, especially in this, like I said, national climate where people, and national meaning in all, you know, be it about any, practically any topic you can think of, chances are you can run into somebody who will put you down very severely for it. So there you go.
Yeah, stay good, people. Stay good.
Be kind. You know, it's like open, shut your mouth. It's like
everyone is fighting a battle.
Well, it's like, for once in a while, shut your mouth, open your ears. You might actually learn something, you know? It's like this hair trigger need to bash people over the head. You know, I just don't see the point of it, but oh well.
You can do it with Larry the Banner Staff?
I know. I need to pull Larry back out. People need to be hit over the head with Larry. Yeah. And no, Larry's not a hidden dildo somewhere. I'm not going to start dildo slapping people, although that would be funny as fuck.
Hey, we're going to get into that conversation we had the other night again. We better stop.
I'll put glitter on it and everything.
I love that you said the thing about shutting up and listening as we're talking over each other. I thought that was just awesome.
Well, yeah, but we already kind of know each other's brain. We can't really learn much from each other at this point. I mean, from the two of us, no. There's nothing you can say that'll shock me. At least I don't think.
Oh, is that a challenge? That feels like a challenge.
I don't want to run into any sex swings when I come visit you. That will shock the shit out of me.
No.
Grab the salt where? In the pantry, this cupboard. Oh, damn. That's a sex
swing. No.
It has attachments.
No.
It smells funny.
I have some breakouts. Anyway, on that note, we have been talking. So I am going to say that Bicoastal Disorder with SBH and Sawa is a proud member of the Nerd Pride Network, quality nerd content from quality nerds. Check us out on Facebook at Bicoastal Disorder and Instagram at Bicoastal Disorder Pod. Email us your questions and comments that are not about our vocal quality at bicoastaldisorderpodcast@gmail.com. Join us at the Nerd Pride Radio forums at nerdprideradio.com/nerds, as well as checking out their awesome podcast, Nerd Pride Radio. Our theme song is actually like written, and he's going to give me soon, and it is by Poor Pete. Production assistance is right now by me, because I'm trying to figure out how to make my voice not suck on this thing. And but now we kind of got to go, because kids, man.
Kids and life and kids.
And it's like 7 o'clock my time, and I should probably make dinner.
For the kids. All right.
Yeah. All right.
Catch you guys later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.